We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career.
I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Wednesday as we start out another week of covering the great sport of kings, Las Vegas style, here from Las Vegas, Nevada, your gaming capital, at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard and the South Point Studios right here. Here's the South Point Studios and, of course, on YouTube at the South Point Studios streaming network. We welcome you to the show. We also welcome all of you out there listening to us on our local radio station here in Las Vegas, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM. And, of course, all of the other platforms, our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global, iPhone, Android, Google phone. We got you all set up with the apps, KSHP app. Of course, you can listen to us through the radio station. And, of course, the YouTube app, you can see and listen to us on YouTube. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting, simply put, however, wherever, whenever, welcome to the Race Day Show for this Wednesday as we ramp it up for another week covering horse racing and sports as well. As you may very well know, we now have the participants in the Super Bowl. Kansas City Chiefs will go against the Philadelphia Eagles, and all I can say is stand by for props, 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 props until you drop. There are going to be plenty of prop bets on the Super Bowl. And as they roll them out here at the South Point, we'll pick one or two in between there for the next week and a half, 2 weeks, until we get to the Super Bowl, and kind of pick Rich Eng's mind. Richie, of course, had the playoffs just right on Sunday. He picked both winners, and they covered their spreads as well. He also gave us a winner on Sunday in horse racing. So Richie was our Sunday star on the Race Day show. Today we have handicappers Jonathan Nardoon. Rich Eng will be back with us. John Lendo and Jerry Jackowitz. And if it's Wednesday, we're going to go out to Mr. Dwayne Colucci out there at the Rampart on the other side of town and see what he's got up there in his book and, of course, what he thinks of what's going on as far as this weekend in racing, because the Kentucky Derby is now coming into focus with all the prep races. For the month of February, you know we're in the final days of January. We're here, it's already the 29th of January, so by Saturday we'll be into February. And during the month of February, there will be 8 prep races at major racetracks that will have Kentucky Derby points with them, okay? The Kentucky Derby points leaders for the leaderboard will have 8 races for the Kentucky Derby points up for grabs. And we'll also have 8 races in the month of February for the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard points. This weekend, 3 of those races for the Kentucky Derby and 2 for the Kentucky Oaks will be contested. This weekend, Gulfstream Park will hold the Holy Bull Stakes. That's worth 20 points. Santa Anita will have the Robert Lewis, worth 20 points. And Aqueduct will feature the Wither Stakes, also for 20 points, offering 20 points in the Kentucky Derby points leaderboard. The Kentucky Oaks will have 2 this weekend. On Saturday, Gulfstream Park, the Forward Gal. And on Sunday at Santa Anita, the Las Virginis. Both of those will have 20 points for the leaderboard for the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks. And taking a look at the leaderboard after this past weekend, Citizens Bull, which will go in the Robert Lewis this weekend to make his 3-year-old debut. Citizen Bull is the leader right now with 40 points. Of course, he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Speed King, winner over the weekend in the stakes race with the Derby points, now has 25, so he's in second. Cole Battle, yet to start, has 20 points. Disco Time, who had a recent start and a win, he's in fourth at 20 points. Built also has 20 points. So you have Cold Battle, Disco Time, and Built all sitting there at 20 points. Then you have Gaming, who ran over the weekend but didn't fare well at Oaklawn Park. Gaming is in sixth with 18 points. Getaway Car is seventh with 16. Jonathan's Way is eighth with 15. Tiztastic, ninth, and Sandman, both in there with 14 points each for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard. Now, as far as the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard is concerned, in the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard, if we can get that punched up here. Wrong one. Sorry, folks. We'll try this again. We'll try it one more time. Come on. There we go. Kentucky Oaks. The Kentucky Oaks leaderboard right now has Good Cheer on top, a Godolphin and Brad Cox train, a Godolphin owned at 20. Take Charge Milady is at 20 as well. Simply Joking is at 20, and so is Running Away. So you have Good Cheer, Take Charge Milady, Simply Joking, and Running Away all sitting there at 20 points on the leaderboard for the Kentucky Oaks. And then Vodka with a Twist at 18, Quiet Side also at 18. You have a Scottish Lassie at 16, Look Forward at 15, and Quick Kick at 14, and Tenma and La Cara round out the top portion there with 13. So we're just starting to calculate the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oak points, and as we know, the points are going to get higher as we move through the year on the way to the Kentucky Derby. And so there'll be a lot of races this month, or I should say next month, a couple of days away in February for the Kentucky Derby. Coming up also in February, on the 8th of February, the Sam Davis will hold 20 points. The Risen Star will have 50 points at the fairgrounds on the 15th. On the 16th, the Sunland Derby for 20. And on the 22nd, the Rebel out at Oaklawn Park will have 50. The John Battaglia which will be held the same day on the 22nd of February. We'll have 20. As far as the Kentucky Oaks is concerned, after Saturday, you'll have the Suncoast on the 8th of February for 20 points. The Rachel Alexander on the 15th for 50 points. The Sunland Oaks on the 16th for 20 points. The Cincinnati Trophy at Turfway, 20 points on the 21st, as well as the UAE Oaks at Maidan at 50 points. And on the 22nd, the Honeybee at Oaklawn at 50 points. So we're just starting to crank up for the Kentucky Derby. So we get the leaderboard there and the points as well for the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks. By the way, in the Kentucky Derby leaderboard, Bob Baffert has three of the top 10 in that one. And Baffert this weekend will have three out of the five contestants going in the Robert Lewis. Robert Lewis sees the three out of the five, only five entrants in the Robert Lewis. And Baffert will have three of those in that on Saturday. In the Holy Bull at Gulfstream Park, a little bit more in that race. And Ferocious will don blinkers for the first time to try to get his second win of his career. Ferocious goes as part of the big field there at the Holy Bull. And as far as the Las Virgenes on Sunday at Santa Anita, again, a short field there. It seems that the field sizes for the big stakes races at Santa Anita right now are very thin. And talking about California racing, and I know John Linda wants to get into this, it was established just yesterday, came out with the decision in California that the Northern California Fairs, will not conduct any racing this year. The California Authority of Racing Fairs, which oversees the brief race meets at four of the Northern California half of the state, said yesterday that they will not seek additional racing dates, a decision that was widely expected in the racing community. That organization runs the summer meets at the county fairs of Pleasanton, Sacramento, Ferndale, and Fresno. Now, the only one that is not part of that is, of course, Santa Rosa. We're still waiting to see if Santa Rosa will run. The horsemen in Northern California said they'll move their horses that they were planning on running in the Northern California fairs this summer, this spring and summer. They'll go to places like Emerald Downs and in Washington, and they'll move some to Southern California, and, of course, Turf Paradise in Phoenix, Arizona. So that's another blow to Northern California racing there, and we'll wait and see what John Lindo has to say about that. Mario Gutierrez will be back riding on Friday after his little mishap when he fell off a horse in the stakes race, the San Pasquale, I should say, the other day. Gutierrez will be back riding on Friday at Santa Anita. And Torpedo Anna, the horse of the year of 2024, the decision has been made on where she's going to start her 2025 racing season. It will be at Oaklawn Park on March the 8th in the Aziri Stakes. So when they were thinking about maybe going to the Dubai World Cup with her, she is not going there. She has no Dubai World Cup in her plans, in their plans. Kenny McPeak said he'll start in the Aziri at Oaklawn on the 8th of March. That is a prep for the Apple Blossom, which will be her next start after that. That Apple Blossom is the first main goal for Torpedo Anna, and that'll be on the 12th day of April of this year. So a lot of plans are being made, that's for sure. Weather around the country, as far as today's racing is concerned, well, I can tell you this, it's warming up at least a little bit. Here in Las Vegas, it's 36 degrees outside right now. We're going to get to 60 today. We've been really cold over the last couple of days. We're going to push into 60. As far as racing and as far as the temperatures around the country, Miami, 77. New York will check in at 52. Chicago, 45. Phoenix, Arizona, 59. And Los Angeles, 61, although there's no racing in L.A. today. And as far as the precipitation and any of that sort of stuff going on, nothing really. A little bit over Kentucky, a little bit over Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma. And of course, most of the snow that's left is in the way up in the northeast, above Pennsylvania into New York State, upstate New York. I understand where Mr. Hardoon is at. He's had quite a bit of snow there, so we'll wait and check in with him. But outside of most of the racing centers across the country, it looks like the weather will be fine enough to run the races. And so, with that in mind, we'll go to our first break. And when we come back, we will have our guests starting to roll in. Hardoon, Ang, Colucci, Lindo, and Jerry J. And if you racing, your racing menu as well. So don't go away. We're just starting on this Wednesday show. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, we were just notified that there was a little bit of a snafu with the technology for the YouTube feed. So the first part of the show, the folks that are on YouTube, and I noticed because I looked at the chat and everybody is sitting there saying, where is the show? Is it broken? Well, it was, but it's fixed now. So you can see and hear us, and all we were talking about was, at the top of the show, a lot of the news about the Thorpedo Anna going in the Azuri at Oaklawn on the 8th of March, and of course the Kentucky Derby points, the Kentucky Derby leaders, etc. You really didn't miss any of the picks, so we're okay there. And again, we have Jonathan Hardoon, Rich Ang, John Lindo, Jerry J, and Dwayne Carlucci from the Rampart yet to go on the show. We'll get you some picks a little bit later on. So just want to remind everybody that the video that was unavailable at the beginning of the show, it's been fixed. Everybody's, you should be able to see and hear us now. And so that's good. So here's the deal. On Sunday at Gulfstream, remember they had that mandatory payoff in the pick six. So the pick six races started out with a $17 winner for trainer Mark Cassie. Mark Cassie, that $17 winner in the sixth race was already that trainer's third win of the day. Cassie won the first race at 440 with Irad Ortiz Jr., came back in the fifth race with Dylan Davis paying $9 even. Davis came back in the sixth for him for his third, for Mark Cassie's third win and Davis's second win at that $17 that started out the pick six. Then you had $12.60, $5 even. That was Gaffleone and Walsh getting together there. Then you had $7.60. Dale Romans gave Irad Ortiz Jr. his second win of the day with that winner at $7.60. Then the 10th race, Gaffleone came back for David Fox and paid $29 even. And then in the 11th and final race of the pick six sequence, the 11th race, Dylan Davis and Mark Cassie got together to win their third race together on Sunday at Gulfstream Park. Cassie's fourth win overall at Gulfstream on Sunday. That horse paid $11.80. So put it all together, the pick six with the mandatory payoff paid $37,865.68. And at Aqueduct, they had a big payoff in the pick six there. Jose Lascano won the first two races at Aqueduct. The first one for Linda Rice at $3.30, came back with the favorite in the second race, paying $3.40, but that was just about it for the favorites. Then you got to the pick six races, and when the pick six was all done at Aqueduct on Sunday, it paid $78,381. Oaklawn Park continues to have big payoffs in their pick five, the early pick five, $21.20, $9.60, $16.20, $8.80, and $10 even, provided a payoff of $11,698.40. And Mark Cassie won a race at Oaklawn as well. He won the ninth race with Mr. Castillo aboard, paying $5.80 there. Peter Miller from Southern California had the highest priced winner of the day at Oaklawn. He won the eighth race, paying $22 even. So keep an eye on Peter Miller there out at Oaklawn. As far as Santa Anita was concerned, Trainer Tim McCann won a couple of races. He won the second race with Isel Espinosa, paying $380. Came back with William Anton Georgi in the fifth race, paying $1,560. And as far as jockeys were concerned, Kyle Frey went back-to-back with winners. Sixth race for Steve Knapp at $4. Seventh race for Jose Hernandez Jr. at $520. Doug O'Neill and Antonio Frazu got together to win the three-horse Clocker's Corner race. Remember, it started raining there at Santa Anita. The track was off. It was sloppy. There were a lot of scratches there, but only three horses win in the Clocker's Corner. The winner there was Vlahos, O'Neill, and Frazu at $380, outrunning Mega Nick and Hamwood Flyer. And Rich Eng gave us the winner of the ninth race with Mega Moon, Flavian Pratt's first of two winners that paid $320. Pratt came and won the last race, paying $1,060. Pick Six paid $1,422.20. Now, time to get to the racing menu for today. Reminding you, the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. If you're in it, no problem. If you're not, adjust to it so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, here we go. We begin with Parks Racing. Parks Racing has a Pick Five jackpot carryover, $29,626. They got 10 races at Parks. First post time is at 9:05. Mahoning Valley Racecourse is next. Their Pick Six jackpot carryover, $28,684. They've got eight races. Their first post time is at 9:15. Gulfstream Park, they have nine races there at Gulfstream. Well, they had a mandatory payoff in the jackpot on Sunday, so they'll start it anew today. First post time is 9:20 at Gulfstream. Tampa Bay Downs has nine races. They have a carryover in the Super High Five of $1,861. They also have a Pick Six jackpot carryover, $27,349. They have nine races, first post time 9:40. Turf Paradise kicks in with the eight races. First race will be a quarter horse race. The rest will be thoroughbreds. Their big Pick Six jackpot continues to build, $296,646 in the carryover in the Pick Six jackpot at Turf Paradise. Wow. And their first post time is at 11:25. Delta Downs, they've got eight races. Their first post time is 2:50. And then Turfway Park, full fields and 10 races at Turfway Park. Turfway Park has a Pick Six jackpot carryover, $27,349. Super High Five carryover, $833. First post time at Turfway Park, 2:55. And then we'll wrap it up at Charlestown, where they have a Pick Six jackpot carryover of $4,091. First post time for their eight races at Charlestown is at 4 p.m. That's the racing menu for today. Let's get out to Jonathan Ardoon standing by. Jonathan, put down the snow shovel just in time to join us on the show. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Yeah, we had about 5 inches overnight and more expected later. But down by Aqueduct, it's in the 40s, high 40s, so good for them.
Yeah, well, they don't have any racing today, though.
Exactly, but they'll be spared this snowstorm.
It's good for the training, however, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we got a lot of those Derby leaderboard points getters over the month of February, which is a couple of days away. And, of course, the first weekend on Saturday, there are three Derby point-getting races and two for the Kentucky Oaks. So it's starting to heat up now.
It is, and it's amazing how quickly this month went, Ralph. It seems like yesterday was New Year's, and already we're in February come Saturday. The interesting thing is that giving points out for the race in Southern California, there are four horses in the race, three of them Baffords, and they're going to get points for that. It just seems ridiculous.
So you think that they ought to pare down the points by virtue of the field size?
They're going to do it later after this round. I think they start to do it. This was the last chance you got to get the points, you know, in these small fields. By the way, we figured something out on Sunday, Ralph.
Yes.
Santa Anita could race in the rain. Did you ever know? I mean, for the last couple of years, anytime it rained, they couldn't wait to cancel. Guess what? A safe day of racing. Yeah, there were a million scratches and small fields and everything else, so that was horrible. But the fact that they ran over a wet track certainly should be encouraging, and what excuse are they going to use now?
I have no idea, but I can tell you honestly, you know, I think it was touch and go by the deadline, the cutoff point that they had to make a decision. The rains came maybe a little bit later. We'll ask John Lindo. But you're right. I was when I started watching the races at Santa Anita and saw the race was the track was sloppy, I go, oh my, it's just like the old days, you know. And you're right, the racing was safe, and so we will wait and see if maybe that is the maybe that's the new level, the new barometer for making a decision to race when it does rain in Southern California. But it was refreshing to see him on a sloppy racetrack, but not so refreshing to see all those scratches.
No, three horse fields we certainly could do without, but just it was just the fact that they were able to race over it. So, you know, people that have that scratched on Sunday may now have watched those races and realize, you know what, the track is okay. Next time we don't have to scratch. Maybe.
Let's hope that is the case. Of course, you know, California racing is going through a real stretch of survival right now, I think. I mean, Northern California racing, without the Northern California racing fairs, only one track up there is not part of that. It's still alive, and that is Santa Rosa. But outside of that, it's Northern California racing is nil right now. I mean, that decision that the Northern California fairs, and their only short meets at that, decided to not ask for the racing days, really, you know, sound almost like the death knell up there. And all I can say is, for those historians out there, those people that follow the history, the racing fairs in California were the impetus to allow parimutuel wagering years ago when they first brought in parimutuel wagering gambling into the state of California. It was through the California racing fairs they got it done. And now they're gone for the most part.
And let's be honest, Ralph, they still haven't pulled the plug on Santa Rosa, but who's going to stick around to run for a couple of weeks? I mean, those horses will all be all, you know, dispersed, whether it be to Arizona or Emerald Downs or down to Santa Anita. There's not going to be any horses to run at that meet. You know, it's only a matter of time till they pull the plug on that racetrack as well.
And, you know, the only encouraging thing I can say, and it's just like a, you know, a lifeline, so to speak, to the Northern California horsemen and probably pressured into doing so, was that Santa Anita cards a couple of races, I think, a day for the kind of like the Golden Gate, the Northern California horses.
They've been running about two races a day, you know. And listen, let's be honest, it's low quality. They're running $5,000 claimers.
Sure.
Some of those races, you know, the quality is certainly down, but that's all they have left, Ralph. That is what is keeping them in the business.
Yeah, and that we're going through a change, that's for sure, in horse racing with all the technology and other things out there. We'll wait and see how it all shakes out. But for the most part, I know John Linda will have something to say about that, pulling the plug on the Northern California racing fairs when he gets on. And so, unless you have a soapbox, you know, no soapbox.
I just want to say one thing. Yeah. Gulfstream, people down in Florida should take a look at what happened in California. Don't wait till the last minute. You know, they basically put you on a three-year plan here. They should be proactive, the horsemen and the trainers, and find another place or find another option. Don't wait till the third year and expect someone to come in and save the day. I guess they tried that in Northern California, and we see what happened. So be smart. You know, honestly, they don't have many options in Florida. I personally think that Hialeah is their best option. It's a proven place. They raced there for many, many years. It's a terrific track. It's a beautiful track. You know, they refurbished it for quarter horse racing, but that's gone away. So at least they have something to start with there. They have to take advantage before it's too late. Be proactive here.
Words of wisdom from Jonathan Hardoon. All right, give me some more words of wisdom and give me a couple of winners today.
All right, Ralph, let's look at the fifth race at Gulfstream, 6 furlongs on the main track. Number 3, Amazing Woo, a 5-year-old gelding for the Jose D'Angelo barn. Rider switched today to Louis Saez, 7-2 on the morning line. Horse ran well last time out while making his first start for D'Angelo. Had some trouble in that race. Number 3, Amazing Woo, wins today's fifth race out at Gulfstream Park.
I'm not even going to make any fun about the name of the horse. Just in the fifth race, number 3, Amazing Woo. Okay. Fifth race, number 3. Of course, that's the final race in the early pick 5, early pick 4. Tampa Bay, I guess, will be next, right?
Yeah, we'll look at the fifth race there also. And again, number 3, God With Us, a 3-year-old colt who had one race on the turf as a two-year-old at Gulfstream, and he actually ran very well. It was a stakes race. Now comes back to the grass today, second time Lasix. Rocco Baracco aboard for Rafael Romero. Number three, God With Us, wins today's fifth race out of Tampa Bay Downs.
All right, in the fifth race of Tampa Bay, the horse number three, God With Us. We hope he's with that horse as well. And so in the you got the fifth race of both places and the three horse in both places. So it's easy to remember. Gulfstream and Tampa Bay, race five, number three. That's all you need to know. Let's get them home a winner. Full sheets of Jonathan's handicapping for both Gulfstream and Tampa Bay available at his websites. Thanks a lot, Rich. Thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Rich? Okay, Larry, no problem.
I have Rich standing by, and that's what happened there.
And I have Larry the plumber standing by here, so that's why I was.
Yeah, go shovel snow. Thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Thanks, Larry. Stay safe and be well.
All right, you got it. All right. We will be right back. We have Rich Eng and Dwayne Colucci standing by as well. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that is going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
All you chatters out there, we are back full tilt on YouTube. We had a snafu at the beginning of the show, technically, what do you want? But we're back. Everything's back. Let's go to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, you were the star on Sunday. You picked both sides of the the matchup for the Super Bowl and covered as well on that spread. And then you gave us a winner in horse racing. So now we got that Super Bowl matchup. We got a whole slew of prop bets coming. We know they're going to be folding them out day by day by day. But first impression of the point spread and the game itself.
Well, I think, you know, the first thing that I'm going to mention about my football picks is, you know, there's a difference between, betting with your heart and betting with your head, because quite frankly, a lot of people really liked Washington.
Yeah.
Washington was heavily, heavily bet.
Yeah.
But, you know, I gave my reasons for liking Philadelphia. I thought Philadelphia was by far the better team. And the same thing, the people were anti-Kansas City. I'm not sure if it was more pro-Buffalo or anti-Kansas City. People are saying the same thing. We're tired of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Chiefs being in the Super Bowl every year. And, well, here they are again. So sometimes you got to break through the emotional bonds that you create and take a look at the facts and figures of why one team versus another is better.
Okay. Now, what about the Super Bowl now?
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to tease tomorrow's show, Ralph. I've already put some bets in my pocket. But tomorrow I'll give the actual bets to Sean so we can put them up on the TV screen. But I've got a couple of doozies in my pocket already.
All right. Well, we'll wait for the doozies tomorrow. How about a pick and horses today?
All right. Let's go to race 9 at Parks. And it's a pretty good race, a mile, two turns, optional claimer 50,000. And a horse that has really improved off the claim by Michael Pino is the number 7, Chelonian. Kendrick Carmouche, New York jockey, who used to be the king of Philadelphia Park back in the day, Rob, before he moved his tack to New York, ships in for the mount. This horse won last time while running a slower buyer speed figure, which is something that I like. So let's go with number 7, Chelonian, with Kendrick Carmouche up in race 9.
Ninth race, Parks, number 7, Chelonian, Carmouche aboard the 7 in the ninth race at Parks. And we will wait for some of your doozies tomorrow, Richie, as we continue to count down to the Super Bowl. And day by day, of course, we'll keep track of it by the spreads and all the prop bets as well. Hey, thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Good luck, everybody.
All right. Now we're going to go to Dwayne Colucci, standing by, Mr. Rampart out there. Dwayne, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How we doing today?
Well, how are you doing, man? We got the Super Bowl starting, all these 2 weeks of preparation going to the Super Bowl. I know that the raw numbers are out there, but there's a lot of prop bets coming, aren't there?
Yeah, definitely, Ralph. And Chris and his team are doing a fabulous job. We already have a page and a half. And I took a nice bet, on one of the props not to have a safety already. Some large money line action on the Eagles. Currently 1.5. Chiefs naturally the favorite. They are the Kings. Not only the Chiefs, but just a monstrous franchise and turning into a dynasty. So, yeah, tons of props, Ralph. We're going to have about, I would say, 16, 17 sheets when all said and done.
Oh man, I mean, everything from the coin flip to on out, it's really something else. But it's the Super Bowl, and a lot of people in the nation are voting for making the Monday after the Super Bowl a holiday because of all the hangovers, but we'll wait and see about that.
Yes.
In any case, I know you guys are doing special stuff there as well as they are here at the South Point. So folks, if you want to enjoy the Super Bowl and not spend a fortune to do it, you can either go to the Rampart on the northwest side of the town or come here on the southeast part of the town along the Las Vegas Boulevard at the South Point. We'll keep filling people in as we go closer to the Super Bowl about all the stuff that will be happening both there and here. Dwayne, but I know that you love horse racing as well. We got some of those Kentucky Derby prep races this weekend. What strikes your fancy?
Yeah, we got some, two good preps, Ralph, in New York, the Withers, and we do have the Holy Bull in Florida. We have preps in California as well on our coast, they just leave a lot to be desired when Bob Baffert is controlling everything. The Robert Lewis, he has those first three entries, 1, 2, 3, and they're very solid, Ralph. So, I definitely think that the New York race may be a little more competitive as well as the Holy Bull out in Florida.
And I guess, they all hold 20 points, so it doesn't matter really where you're going to get the points from. But the competitive race is obviously the Lewis. And, of course, the Holy Bull is a horse that's going into the Holy Bull getting blinkers for the first time, a horse that I like, the Ferocious. We'll wait and see if that makes a difference there.
Yeah, Ferocious is definitely solid, a solid contender, and he's battle-tested. That last race, he kind of chased that Keeneland, but, he's a very nice horse. And definitely when you have Breeders' Cup experience, that also adds to your resume there, Ralph. I think in that race, I'm looking top to bottom. It's a very difficult race. Maybe an outside chance. He's not joking. I think he's coming into the race and is looking for a lot of distance. And, I'm picking a long shot in this race because I think it's wide open. Tepon Street is a very nice horse. Definitely has, I think he'll like distance as well. You have Burnham Square, who looked fabulous. I'll be honest with you. That was a really eye-opening race, in my opinion, that last maiden victory. And that Ian Wilkes is definitely one of the top trainers and conditioners on the Derby trail. So, the Holy Bull is wide open. You're taking the horse with the most experience, which I really respect. I think he's battle tested, and it's just a matter of Ferocious getting the right trip, in my opinion, there, Ralph, which is definitely capable with a smaller field here in the Holy Bowl at Florida.
And when you have Brad Cox in there, like, you know, Pletcher and a few other trainers like Baffert on the East West Coast, you always have to worry about their entrance. And he's got Tappan Street in that one, an offspring of Into Mischief with Louis Saez that has been getting a lot of rave reviews in the morning.
Yeah, just like last week. But, you know, Brad kind of let us down, you know, in the stake race at Oaklawn in the prep. His horse didn't fire as well, and he will have all guns loaded, Ralph. So this horse definitely has a chance. You look at him, he definitely was, you know, solid in his maiden special weight race. You're getting Luis Saez, who knows pace. He definitely knows how to, you know, sit close enough and be tactical to Irad's horse, who I believe, guns loaded, will be very close to the pace. And, you know, his action, guns loaded, is a little high kicking action. His leg action, Ralph, looked a little strange. He held on last race, but, you know, I want him to put his head down and be a little more assertive. I'm sure Irad will control him in that situation if the Brad Cox horse starts to make a run. And, you know, Cox always has, like we said, a bunch of horses that have maiden victories. It's just, can they get that second and third win? And he has a terrible ROI going from, you know, maiden special weight to stake races. I think he's won for his last 17.
Wow.
ROI is under a dollar there, Ralph. So keep an eye on that. You know, Brad Cox, you have to really microscope some of his stats because he is, you know, he has so many entrants and so many horses.
And, of course, the Withers, I think, came up a little light. There's only seven in the Withers, but that's the New York race that holds some points for the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, it's a pretty competitive, deep race, only for seven.
Oh, you know me. I'm looking at Rick Dutrow's horse off of that maiden race, Ralph. You know, that Captain Cook, he looked really good striding out. Now, it was a very sloppy racetrack, but, you know, he just went five wide, kick clear. He won by about seven or eight lengths. So, you know, rightfully at 5-2 on the morning line, Rick Dutrow's going to have this horse chomping at the bit and definitely solid. The rail horse, Global Steve, he looked really good, too, at Parks. You know, he wasn't running all that well at the top of the stretch, even with a two-length lead, but once he straightened out and you know, the rider gave him a couple of cracks, he straightened out, he was gliding home and really, really looked strong. Mo Quality, he had a chase race at Oaklawn, he looked good too. You know, and that was stakes competition, whereas we're talking about horses basically that have won maiden races, not the rail horse but the Dutrow horse. So, you know, he definitely has a chance as well. The condition should be a lot better, I believe, at Aqueduct. I think it's starting to warm up. I've been talking to people on the East Coast, it's warm today, you know, getting closer to 50 degrees, and that's very, you know, encouraging, so we don't have scratches and a depleted field, because so many of these prep races have small fields, like you touched upon, Ralph, like the Holy Bull. So, you know, we want to see a lot of horses get competitive on this Derby trail. Like you said, 20 points, very important. Keep your eye on that Omaha, too. You know, he looks like he needs a lot of distance, and he was closing very late in his last race, you know, making up a ton of ground. I actually bet him in that last race and was wondering when he was going to fire, and it could have been passing tiring horses, but I think he was making up ground on the leader and would love extra distance.
Well, by virtue of, you know, your breakdown of these races, folks out there should know that you really know something about horse racing and love the game itself. And, you know, you just stop by if you're anywhere in the area up there, stop by the Rampart. You guys take care of horse players.
Yeah, we love horse players, Ralph. That's what it's all about. You know, I'm old school. I love my horse players. Every $40 you wager is one comp dollar to use at the Rampart facility. And we have unbelievable food outlets. The hotel is brand newly remodeled. You have to check it out, Ralph. Come down and see me. And, you know, we're very liberal with the racing forms, you know, limited play. We give racing forms, drink tickets. We still have all that going on. And we have a huge 55-foot video wall. And we dedicate a third of that video wall each and every day, if not more on the bigger race days, to horse racing. So the Rampart is the place for horse racing, Ralph, without a doubt. And come on out and see me. I have a fabulous team of riders, and we really anticipate a lot of action leading to the Derby Trail with so many properties turning away from horse racing, which is so disappointment, such a disappointment, but not at Rampart and South Point, Ralph.
No,
we're here to stay.
Not even you got a great team there. It's just, it got that old-fashioned feel to it, and that's what I like, just like here at the South Point. Hey, Dwayne, we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Yes, definitely, Ralph. Looking forward to it.
All right, we'll talk about what happens this weekend with the Derby horses as well. Thanks a lot, Dwayne.
Thanks, Ralph.
All right, we're going to take a final quick break, and when we come back, John Lindo and Jerry J, wrap it up. Don't go away.
Get ready to laugh with Punchlines with Frank Nicotero. Join Frank and his team of featured guests for your daily dose of comedy.
Burrito, the Pittsburgh of the West.
Poison. Yeah. Poison.
Sports. F for Falcons, Alex.
We were talking Derek Carr for MVP after two games.
Who's we?
Okay, me. Yeah. I was.
And the funniest social media posts.
People want to show off their food. Boom. Wiener on a guy's shoulder.
It's the Dogs Colts. We bleed blue.
It's your one-stop spot for great laughs and a good time.
But a bump.
Find us on YouTube at Punchlines FN. And join the chat live weekdays at noon Pacific with the ultimate blend of joke, sports, and viral fun.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this final segment of our first show covering the great sport of Kings, Las Vegas style. And we're going to go now to Southern California, where John Lindo's standing by. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
Doing fine. My man's warming up a little bit here. We're going to get up to 60 degrees today in Vegas, and I know that Southern California is a little bit cooler than it normally is, but all I can say is you guys needed the rain over the weekend, and a lot of people were surprised that they actually ran races at Santa Anita on a sloppy track on Sunday.
I was a little bit surprised, too. You know, the rain didn't start till right till they were going to the post for the first race, and I commend Santa Anita for pulling the races off the turf before the pick six began, before that whole sequence began, so they got that right. Obviously, the fields were small, and it was a tough card to play. But, you know, we've raced on wet tracks in Southern California for 90 years. You can do it. It's just a matter of taking care of it and keeping the surface safe. And you know, maybe they'll learn something from this.
Well, what they did right for there is for sure. But what is not right is what's going on in Northern California.
No, it's a mess. You know, the California Authority of Racing Fairs, CARF, voted not to apply for dates for the summer fair season, so you won't see Sacramento or the little town Ferndale have their meet, or Fresno, or even Pleasanton. Mm-hmm. And you got to think Santa Rosa is not part of that group, but if everybody leaves town, I don't know where they're going to get horses to run. And leaving town is the next thing to fall, Ralph. I would not be surprised at all very soon. You know, they have to have 500 horses in training at Pleasanton by February 25th to keep that facility open. They're right at that number now, and with Emerald Down about to open up and they're recruiting to get some horses up there, I don't think Pleasanton will be open for training after March the 25th. I think that'll be the deadline, and once those horses leave and the horsemen leave, I don't know how Northern California racing starts up again. We might have seen the end of it. I think we might be done up there.
I got to tell you, and not only is it the end product, the racing itself and the cards that we can gamble on in Northern California going to take a hit, but the breeding industry in California is also going to take a hit.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you're talking about maybe 40 to 45% less races possible. You breed a cowbred, and the cowbred incentive program through the California Thoroughbred Breeders Association is good, but you got to have a place to run. So, you know, if you're making decisions with a mare now to breed for this year and in 3 years, are you going to have a place to run that cowbred? So it's kind of like what's going on with that decoupling in Florida. If they separate those licenses and Gulfstream is only guaranteeing 3 years, if I'm breeding a Florida bred, in 3 years, that's what I'm supposed to race. So a lot of questions for the breeders in both states.
Yeah, there's no question about it. We are at a very pivotal point in the health of horse racing, both in California and in Florida, and we will wait and see. The one common denominator with both of them is the ownership of those racetracks.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're making the decisions, and they've been pretty consistent. And, you know, you and I can read a past performance, Ralph. So you saw what happened in Maryland. We saw what happened in Northern California. And the pattern's not good as far as trying to be optimistic about what's going to happen in Florida and at Santa Anita in Southern California. We're trying, but we'll see where it goes.
And then you have, you know, races like the Robert Lewis coming up this weekend. It has 20 Kentucky Derby leaderboard points attached to the winner, and you get five horses in the race, and three of them are trained by Bob Baffert.
Right. Bob Baffert controls that race. It looks like he's got, you know, he's got the two-year-old champ, Citizen Bull, in there. He's got Rodriguez, who is a very good horse, just broke his maiden stretching out. You know, you've got Matticat Road on the rail, and two other horses thrown in to fill the field. So, you know, it's going to be difficult. It goes through Baffert, and unless some of these other guys can come up with top-quality horses, it's just basically, it looks like an elimination heat for Bob Baffert.
And on Sunday at San Anita, the Las Virgenes, that has 20 points for the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard, didn't get an overflow field either. It's a little bit better than that race, but it's still light.
Yeah, the Las Virgenes only has five horses as well. Two of those are trained by Bob Baffert. I haven't looked at that race yet, but he's got Tenma, who's a grade one and grade two winner against a lot of fillies that, you know, haven't accomplished themselves or just broken their maidens. So obviously he's got the nut in that race as well.
Yeah, I mean, both of those races are really anemic. And so, you know, when you're looking at what's going on in Northern California and you're looking at the big stakes races, especially for the Glamour Group, the three-year-olds, both in the Colts and the fillies with Derby points on them, and you can't fill those fields, you know, they're sitting there saying, thank goodness for Bob Baffert, I guess, for them, because without his horses, you'd have, you know, almost a walkover.
Well, you know, these three-year-old qualifying races seem to fall on the first Saturday of every month, and they're all up against each other, so they become regional races. There's no sense shipping from Oaklawn Park to come out to Santa Anita. They run for more purse money at Oaklawn. Up in New York, I don't see any reason to come to California as well. And so as they have these different qualifiers in the different regions, who wants to come run against Baffert for less purse money?
Well, that makes all the sense in the world, that's for sure. The schedule for Lindo Report this week.
I've got Gulfstream tomorrow. I'll have Santa Anita Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'll add something on Saturday with that Gulfstream Park card. I'll probably do the late pick five because of the Holy Bull and the Kitten's Joy. There's some good stakes races on the back half of that card.
Yeah, there sure is. And, John, as far as the fires in Southern California, everything getting under control now?
Yeah, they're basically all almost 100% contained. If they're not 100% contained, the rain sure helped us. So now we just have to start all everything else, and I feel bad for all those people that have to try and rebuild. It's going to take a while.
It's going to take a lifetime, I think. Hey, thanks a lot, my man. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Ralph. Talk to you in the morning.
All right. We're going to go to Jerry Jackowitz, who always is the final guy on Wednesdays to give us a thought or two about how to play the races. Jerry?
Yeah, I just want to say if Bob Baffert didn't have three horses in the race, you might have a full field.
Oh, I see. So you got the other way of looking at it. I see.
Yeah, I'm just saying is, you know, if you already know that your horse can't beat him and he's got three of them, why run him?
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean,
there's no second money, a third. I mean, you have a small chance for second or even third money. You're running. There's no reason. It's not a good business decision if you know you can't beat his best horse.
Well, that makes,
second best horse.
That does make all the sense in the world as well there, too. We'll just have to get some other trainers that have quality horses, I guess. I don't know what the answer is, but it was nice to see at least they ran in the slop at Santa Anita on Sunday instead of canceling the races because of the track conditions.
Well, that's for sure. Absolutely. And they should. I mean, you know, that's exactly the right thing to do. Getting back to betting, I mean, it's the same old story. We talk about it all the time, but I don't think there's anything wrong with repeating it and trying to drive home the idea that betting a horse in any way, whether it's in an exacta, in a trifecta, in a pick six, it might be the one exemption on this.
Yeah.
Betting a horse that's an underlay price is just, that underlay is going to travel through the exacta price, through the trifecta price, through even the superfecta price. Mm-hmm. Of course, when you get out to the superfecta, there's more randomness that comes in, so you could be fielding some value all the way out there in the end of the superfecta.
Yeah.
But getting out of the habit or getting in the habit of not betting horses that are below your price, what you think is fair value, is a great habit to get into.
Yep.
And a lovely way to play the horses.
All right. Well, that's never boring to hear that over and over again, because that is the right way of looking at the races. And we will certainly depend on you and the guys to give us some key horses for tomorrow. But in the meantime, as we wrap up this first show of the week, you have one more thing to say, and I know you're going to say it.
I do. Have a great race day.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.